If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk about Monday Night Raw from last night, and especially that segment that everyone is talking about, the one between Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. Did Shayna really have to take a bite out of Becky Lynch, and did it need all that blood? And what did it really mean for Shayna Baszler? Also, we get into Becky Lynch as well, and what does Becky Lynch now mean to the WWE Universe after WrestleMania 35? And more importantly, what does the WWE Universe mean to Becky Lynch? And we also get into the most deadly weapon in all of pro wrestling, the pencil. We do all that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. We had our thoughts yesterday about what we saw Friday on SmackDown on Fox and how there really isn't a lot coming out of a SmackDown. Completely different, good or bad, when it comes to Monday Night Raw. So let me ask you, Bully, what did you think of the overall show last night?
The overall show to me, I didn't particularly think last night's show had a flow. Or maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just the way I was taking in the show. There were aspects of the show that I liked and aspects that really left me scratching my head. And, you know, as I said jokingly to start off the show, Shayna Baszler biting Becky Lynch on the back of the neck, drawing blood. Like, I didn't get it as a fan. Like, when I sat there and I really thought about it, I'm like, okay, they probably think Shayna is just too plain as a, you know, former, you know, UFC fighter who's just going to beat the shit out of Becky. We need something more. So let's have her bite her on the back of the neck because that'll be shocking. That'll keep people on the station, blah, blah, blah. I understand why they do it. But as a fan, I just don't think I was into it because, much like Ronda, Shayna is a credible badass. And all I need to do is see, first of all, seeing Shayna, you know, nail Becky in the back of the head was good. She puts her down. And then seeing Shayna mount Becky and just start laying haymakers into her head, man, that's all I really need because that's what Shayna Baszler is known for. And then we get the bite. And like I said, Dave, I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it. I know I didn't really like it. I don't think I hated it because it's a very sports entertainment thing to do. She kind of reminded me of Freddie Blassie. Remember Freddie used to bite everybody back in the day?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never thought I'd be comparing Shayna Baszler to Freddie Blassie. Well, but there you have it.
But, you know, Freddie Blassie was like the biggest heel of that time, and that's one of those heel cheating tactics that he used. When it comes to Shayna Baszler, I kind of looked at her a different way. First of all, when you do something like what we saw, and it's so funny, before Raw last night, I was watching YouTube. I was watching old Kevin Sullivan, Dusty Rhodes matches from Championship Wrestling from Florida. And, you know, Kevin Sullivan was the anti-Dusty Rhodes and, you know, the Golden Spike and everything else. But they had a long, drawn-out blood feud between those two. And as the feud went on between Dusty and Kevin Sullivan, it got worse and worse what Kevin Sullivan would do to Dusty Rhodes. And again, you knew the Dusty Rhodes character, the ultimate babyface, and you knew Kevin Sullivan's character as, you know, that satanic, just absolute dark heel. You know, with Shayna Baszler, again, is somebody who's on NXT. I know we've seen her a little bit on the main roster, especially around Survivor Series. But you would agree, Bully, there is no feud right now between Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. So the people watching that show, they really don't know, unless you're a diehard NXT watcher. But let's put NXT aside for just a second. If you're somebody who just watches Raw, you really don't know who Shayna Baszler is. If you watch NXT on a weekly basis, you do know who Shayna Baszler is. You know Shayna Baszler as this, you know, complete badass that has beaten everybody with that credible MMA background. I don't understand why they used Shayna Baszler the way they did last night by having her bite Becky in the neck.
It's all WWE sports entertainment, Dave. It really is. They probably looked at her as too vanilla or too plain with just beating somebody up, probably too similar to Ronda. They probably wanted to do something, you know, shocking. And there you go. That was shocking last night. Listen, I guess it was shocking enough for us to start off the show about it. We didn't know we were going to start off the show because we never know what we're going to actually talk about until we start talking.
Yeah.
It shocked us. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of people were shocked about it. I mean, I'm going to go right to the Twitter machine really quick because this tweet just popped me. This comes in from Tampa Bay Viper. He goes, "Don't forget, Dave and Bully, Becky also stole an ambulance, went to a medical facility, was able to steal the ambulance again, and was driving under the influence of drugs."
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot that we're going to get into today. And obviously, you know, Becky Lynch is usually over the last year a big topic here on Busted Open, both good and bad. And she deserves to be. And we're going to get into some comments she made recently about herself and how she should be perceived when it comes to the WWE. But, you know, when you're, you know, one of the biggest stars and you're arguably the most popular star in the WWE, then obviously you're going to be a big topic on a show like ours. So we're going to get a lot into the Becky aspect of things because, again, when it comes to Becky, I don't know if it's good or bad or if it's too similar to like what we've seen from Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, there's a lot, and we'll get into Becky in just a bit, but let's concentrate on Shayna Baszler. I think it would have been so much better, in my opinion, Bully, if Shayna Baszler, after that 20-minute match with Asuka, which was a great match, to just lay out Becky Lynch. Hey, Becky Lynch just went through a grueling 20-minute match with Asuka, and she was probably, you know, and she was blindsided by Becky Lynch, blindsided by Shayna Baszler, who's a credible athlete. I would have loved to just seen Shayna Baszler lay out Becky Lynch, end of segment. I wonder what's going to happen next. I think that would have been a much better end to what we saw instead of what we got last night.
I agree with you. I would have liked less is more and keep it simple and play to Shayna's strengths. And I almost would have liked to seen at the end of the segment, you know, Shayna standing over Becky. And you could have got one line out of her where, you know, she could have told Becky, you know, "You were expecting Ronda. You got much worse. You got Shayna." And then, you know, you're off to the races. The biting thing just kind of, it takes me out of it. Was I shocked? Yeah. Was I shocked in a good way? I'm really not sure, because in order to get that much blood out of a human being by biting them, you got to really sink your teeth down into that neck. So if that's the way they want to go, I need to see the back of Becky's neck next week or during the week. I need to see stitches in her neck. I need to see bite marks. I need to see blood and pus and all that disgusting stuff that comes with one human being biting another human being.
Well, and again, like, now it's making me wonder what kind of character they're going to present with Shayna Baszler. Because this is something that we've never seen from Shayna Baszler. And again, if you were going to go this route, this is something that you probably should have done while the two are feuding. That there's that much hate in a person where she's going to bite somebody in the neck like that. You know, whether it's out of frustration or just anger. But there's not enough of a story between those two where you get the outcome like you did last night. And on top of it, you would think that getting a big gash on the back of your neck like the one that Shayna Baszler delivered to Becky, especially by biting her, that you would have gotten a lot more out of it than what we got. This kind of reminded me a little bit of the conversations that we had about the green mist from Asuka. You know, like where Charlotte and Paige were almost more annoyed by the green mist than actually selling the fact that there's this acidy poison that just went into their eyes. It's the same thing with Shayna Baszler last night. Becky seemed more annoyed that, like, I think she actually mouthed it or said it, and it got beeped out. It's like, did that bitch just bite me? Like, it was almost like, what the hell was that? And then they're trying to look at her, and she's like, I'm fine. And she beats up the ambulance corps, which one, by the way, one of the people that was one of the ambulance was extremely hot. I don't know who it was, but she was hot. Anyway, I digress. Then she beats up everybody, jumps into the ambulance, drives herself to the hospital, gets herself, you know, I guess because she's Becky Lynch, doesn't have to wait in the ER like most people do, drives, get herself stitched up, comes back, and then like less than an hour later, she's in the ring, you know, calling out Shayna Baszler. Like, let's go. Like, it's almost like that had absolutely no impact to Becky Lynch.
What the hell you got a problem with, Dave? I did that 20 years ago, and it worked like a charm. I got my ass whooped, went to the hospital, beat up all the ambulance, the ER, the doctor, the medic, the guy who swabs the deck, took the ambulance, drove back to Raw, and whooped everybody's ass.
We had Stone Cold Steve Austin in studio, and Stone Cold said, Becky doesn't need to be me. She just needs to be her. But, man, some of the things they're presenting on Monday Night Raw are very reminiscent of what we saw from Stone Cold Steve Austin 20 years ago.
And I wish I was a fly on the wall, but I can probably tell you when they were discussing this whole Shayna thing, they probably said, we need something for her. We need something different. We need something shocking. We need her to do something that is going to have people talking. She can't just beat up Becky. That's passe. That's old. Actually, it works perfectly for Shayna, because that's what Shayna is known for. To me, the last person that needed anything was Shayna, because she's such a credible badass. She just looked, you know, she is. It's not that she, I mean, she looks it, she acts it, she walks it, she talks it. But in the world of the WWE, if you're just a wrestler or if you're just a fighter, they're probably going to look to tinker with you and give you something. We are talking about it. Whether people liked it or not, I'm not sure. And that's why I sent out that tweet this morning. Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Were you like, get the hell out of here? I don't want to see this anymore. And I'm genuinely interested in hearing what the nation has to say this morning.
And you know what? I'm not even saying that it's bad. It wasn't for me. I'd rather have seen an ass beating, because we know who, you know, Shayna Baszler is. But if you're going to go the route of her biting her in the back of the neck, if you're going to go that route, that something like you said is shocking and oh my God, wow, then have at least Becky off TV, I don't know, for the rest of the show? I mean, she returned the same show ready for a fight. Like, so the shock factor is gone before Raw even signed off last night, Bully.
If you get bit by another human being, don't you need to get a significant amount of shots?
Yeah, I mean, I would think you got to get checked by a doctor. You probably, like, you know, you probably, who knows what kind of shots you're going to get. But for a cut that deep, that Shayna Baszler's face was full of blood, I would think that it would be more than just a couple of stitches and you're right back to Monday Night Raw before the show signs off.
Maybe when Becky got to the ER, she was like, it's just a flesh wound. I'll be fine. I don't know. Like, with that much blood, to me, it's going to be about the follow-up. I'll tell you what. I'll even put my own kind of personal feelings on the side. I'm going to say I loved last night. It was awesome. They did the right thing with Shayna. It was perfect. I absolutely am so into this story. All right. Now show me this week. Show me the bite marks. Show me the stitches. Show me the follow-up. Show me the rabies shots. Show me what, you know, show me Becky on the mend. Because I want to see the repercussions of this bite. I need to see Shayna Baszler's teeth marks in the back of Becky's neck.
And again, even if you do, after the way she came back last night, I don't know if it's going to have that much significance. And the one thing that I was wondering when that show signed off, and again, overall, I thought it was a good Monday Night Raw last night, is that, was that segment more about Shayna or more about Becky? Was that more about getting Shayna over with a different type of crowd and saying that this is a legit badass that you want to see in the ring with Becky Lynch? Or is this more about Becky Lynch and saying, hey, you know what? This is just another victim, just another obstacle in her way? Because to me, they should have presented Shayna Baszler in a way where she came out looking like gold, because you need to have a credible opponent for Becky Lynch.
And with the biting, now that you've went there, it feels like you have to go there again, right?
Well, I don't know how you top it. I don't know, you know, where you can go now if you just shot off your big shot right off the bat last night.
What I'm saying is, the next time we see Shayna Baszler, are we going to expect her to bite someone or bite Becky Lynch again?
Yeah, probably, and I don't want that. I don't want that from Shayna Baszler because, Bully, you and I talk about we love realism in pro wrestling. Obviously, something like this, to me, is not realistic. Maybe somebody could present it in a way that it is. But one thing we do know is that Shayna Baszler is a credible athlete. I think the WWE needs more credible athletes in that ilk. You know, a la a Brock Lesnar, a la a Ronda Rousey. I think Shayna Baszler is probably presented, at least presented on NXT, better than Brock and Ronda in the way that, you know, she's not the mainstream star like Ronda Rousey, where people are going to have the perception that everything's handed to her. And she's not Brock Lesnar, where you don't see him each and every week. You know, we know there's more to Shayna Baszler than what those two could present on a weekly basis. I'm not saying that Shayna Baszler is a more credible athlete or a bigger star, but you know what I'm saying as far as like a lot of the bitching and moaning that you get from a lot of the WWE universe, you're not going to get with Shayna Baszler. I think that's kind of thrown out the window after what you saw last night, in my opinion.
One of the things that I'm extremely willing to do is give them the benefit of the doubt, just like I gave them the benefit of the doubt the first night after the Firefly Funhouse. We weren't quite sure what to think, and it's all about the follow-up. So let's see what they do with Shayna and Becky moving forward, and let's see if this biting thing makes any more sense and if it actually has legs. If not, it was just a shocking moment to get us to talk about it, and we've just spent 18 minutes talking about it. So I guess, in a way, mission accomplished by the WWE.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We were just talking in the break, and you were saying about how they're presenting Becky as a superwoman, correct?
Yes.
Well, last week, didn't Becky tell us that she had, like, superpowers?
She did. Like, she can see, you know, she has eyes in the back of her head, and she can see.
Yeah. I guess that superpower had an expiration date of 1 week because she didn't have eyes in the back of her head last night.
No, Shayna Baszler was able to get into that ring and attack her, though I think most people, after getting that bite, would be dazed for quite some time. You heard her scream, but by the time she got to the ring apron, she was telling all the, you know, all the ambulance personnel and all the medics to back off. She was fine. I'm okay. There's, you know, get off of me. And then, you know, poor people that are actually trying to help her and do their job, getting her into the ambulance and getting her to safety, she beat the shit out of. And then stole the ambulance, which is, you know, I guess would be a crime. And then, you know, driving out to the ambulance by herself, getting a little, as she said, getting a little Novocaine and getting some stitches and driving under influence of whatever they gave her at the hospital. She came back to Monday Night Raw. But either way, she's fine, which is good to see. It's good to see that Becky is fine.
Becky took a handful of perks, did a shot of Jack, and made it back in time for the end of the show. You know, they can use this eyes in the back of my head thing for a Shayna promo. I mean, Shayna could look Becky dead in the eye and go, I guess your superpowers don't mean shit, and the eyes in the back of your head must be blind because I blasted you right in the back of the head and I bit you right in the back of the neck and there wasn't a damn thing you could do about it. So they could bring that forward. Also, what I popped for? You mentioned the one EMT last night. You said the hot EMT.
It's hot.
Right?
Yep.
How about when Becky jumped in the ambulance, the EMT actually hit the back of the ambulance like they do in real life to let them know it's okay to drive away? I'm like, why are you letting her know it's okay to steal the ambulance? I mean, I know I'm cutting a little too deep here. I'm having some fun with them. But that just popped me. It's like, okay, you're going to steal the ambulance. Good to go, girl. You know, don't stop at any red lights on the way to the hospital.
They did do that. It's like, all right, the back door shut. So go ahead. You're clear to go.
It's little things like that. You know, if you were to shove down one EMT, the other EMT, jump in and speed off like you're actually stealing a vehicle, okay, I'll buy into it. There can't be anybody around there hitting the back of the ambulance going, okay, you're good to go, girl. Good luck. Best of luck in your future endeavors. We'll see you by the end of the show.
Yeah, it didn't take long because, well, I guess it was, how long was she gone for? About 45 minutes to an hour, less than an hour that the whole thing took place. So, again, if you're getting Shayna Baszler and you want Shayna Baszler to make an impact, and maybe that was their way of having Shayna Baszler make an impact by biting Becky Lynch and drawing blood and seeing that visual of the blood around Shayna Baszler's mouth, because we do know when it comes to Shayna Baszler, Bully, she always has that mouthpiece in her mouth at all times. Whenever she's fighting, you know, she's always got that mouthpiece in there. To see her spit that out and take a bite, that's so un-Shayna Baszler-like. And maybe this is, you know, what we talk about. And maybe I'm jumping ahead, so please stop me if you think I'm jumping too ahead. But
stop. Have a time.
These are some of the concerns that we get when it comes to certain people that are on NXT and then going to the main roster, that they have those changes in character. Now, I'm not saying this is a change in character, but this is obviously something that the old Shayna Baszler that we knew and have seen for a long time on NXT would never, ever do. NXT Shayna Baszler would always just kick somebody's ass, no apologies, had that credible MMA background, and she was a champion for a long, long time. I don't know if this is a character change, but these are some of the things that we talk about, Bully, when it comes to when you're on NXT and they need to do a little something, whether it's a little dressing or just a little change in personality to make you more sports entertainment on Raw than the pro wrestling show of NXT.
If it was a one-shot deal, one-time deal, where they were going for shock factor, where Shayna's just trying to get Becky's attention, all right, I can deal with it. But if she comes on TV next week and goes that 80s route of, I'm Shayna Baszler and I need to taste blood, and unless I taste blood, you know, then I'm sorry, I can't buy in, you know, because you're not going to run around biting people. Why? What happened between the last time we saw Shayna Baszler and now that all of a sudden she's got a blood fetish? And why, Becky? Does she have a taste for Irish blood?
So the only thing that would be acceptable for you was that she just did this last night to, like, shock everybody and grab everyone's attention.
Yes, and now I would not go back to the bite at all if it was me. And then I would only bring the bite back around when it meant something. So almost like forget about the bite.
Yeah.
As if it shocked everybody. Now we're going to shock people by forgetting about it. And then when the time is right, we go back to it.
And honestly, if you think about it, you could make the excuse of not going back to it because Becky's already recovered from it. It's not like we're waiting next week to find out if Becky is okay after that bite from Becky Lynch. We know she's okay. She came back. She called out Shayna Baszler on the same show when it occurred. So you could do that, Bully. You could easily move off of it and go forward in another direction.
I just want to see a visual follow-up. If she was bitten that bad in the back of the neck someplace this week on .com or on Twitter, someplace on social media, show me the bite marks. Show me the bloody black and blue. Because if you bite somebody that hard, there's going to be significant bruising, significant black and blue. There's obviously a puncture wound there because she was bleeding. See, when you take something like this and you go so far with it, I don't have a problem with it as long as you follow it up and make it credible. So if you follow it up and you make it credible, I'm totally on board and I'm saying to myself, wow, that Shane is batshit crazy. She bit a hole into Becky Lynch's neck.
And see, this is where I get upset, because you're right. No matter what, I mean, Shayna Baszler is batshit crazy for what she did last night. I mean, there's no animosity. There's no longtime feud. There's no, like, frustration and anger. Like, even if she did this just to shock people and get people talking, she's batshit crazy because she just bit another human being in the back of the net to draw enough blood that her face was covered with it. So she's batshit crazy. I don't want batshit crazy Shayna Baszler. I want the credible badass from NXT. That's what I want. That's the person I want to see go up against Becky Lynch. That's what I want to see at WrestleMania. Not a batshit crazy person that's biting people in the neck.
Listen, I understand your point of view. To me, like I said, it's about the follow-up. Remember when the Inner Circle broke Dustin's arm?
Yeah.
How long did Dustin wear a cast for?
For her, he sold it.
For weeks and
yeah,
weeks and
for
weeks. That was the follow-up. Remember when Jericho stuck the spike in Moxley's eye? Gee, I wonder where that idea came from. But remember when he did it?
Yep. He's selling it on New Japan over the weekend. He's still selling that eye. And that's because that's the story that's leading to a pay-per-view.
We're getting a follow-up on injuries. So you don't just think something happened one week and then they forget about it the next week. If memory serves me correct, didn't Angel Garza DDT Umberto on the concrete last week?
Yes, he did. And they actually showed the replay where, Thea pulled up all the protective outside of the ring, pulled it away, so that he was able to do that on the concrete, yes.
And did we see Umberto last night?
Yes, we did.
I'm sorry, but if you get DDT'd on the concrete, I should not see you the next week. At least that's the world of pro wrestling I come from.
But again, we saw Becky on the same show. So there she is where there's medics around her. They're trying to get her into an ambulance. Whether she wanted to or not, she's fighting people. She came back on the same show. So you're not selling anything. And here's why I know they're not going to sell it, Bully. Because of where the bite took place. The bite took place on the back of the neck. So Becky's hair is going to be covering that wound. So it's not like she's going to come out. She's going to have a big black and blue on the side or anything like that. It was the back of the neck. The hair is going to cover it. You're never going to see those wounds that you're talking about.
I understand what you're saying, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course
I believe people need to see it. If you see it afterwards, it then gives the bite credibility. Now the bite means something. And Dave, if you were to really sink your teeth into the back of somebody's neck, draw blood, puncture their skin, make them bleed, do you know how long it would take for that wound to properly heal and go away?
I don't. How long?
A long time. That would cause major scarring. The black and blue that would go on would last for a while. So I understand what you're saying about the hair being down, thus we never need to see it. What I'm saying is, if you want me to believe it and make it really credible, I want to see it. Flip your hair up in 2 weeks and show me the black and blue and the scarring. At the very least, Dave, next week, she should have the gauze over the back of her neck and the back of her neck entirely taped up. If there's no gauze there and if there's no tape there, you're telling me you're leaving an exposed puncture wound open to get infected? You might get coronavirus blowing over from China and dive into one of those holes.
SiriusXM Fight Nation celebrates Black History Month every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern on The Akin Barak Show. All month long, the show reflects on the life and legacy of different influential African-American athletes, such icons as Muhammad Ali.
I'm the king of the world.
Kobe Bryant.
You guys will always be in my heart. I love you guys.
Jackie Robinson.
Robinson dashes to the plate. Safe.
And more will be recognized for the impact they made both in and out of sports. The Akin Barak Show, weekdays noon till 3 Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation.
Becky Lynch, you would say, Bully, over the last 18 months, there's been nobody more polarizing than Becky Lynch, especially in the world of the WWE, even outside the world of the WWE and what she's done, for women's wrestling, what she's done for pro wrestling. We talk a lot about Ronda Rousey, and she was the reason why we had the main event at WrestleMania 35, but Becky Lynch, a huge part of that, and the winner coming out of WrestleMania 35. And we're seeing a different type of Becky Lynch as we get closer to WrestleMania 36. And let me explain why. I think it's judged by that last caller. I think that main event match, and especially what we've seen from Becky Lynch the last couple of months, she's really kind of generated a lot of what we saw, Bully, in the Attitude Era. And I know that Stone Cold said she needs to be Becky Lynch and not like Stone Cold. And I know a lot of people kind of compared Becky Lynch to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And whether you saw her like that or not, I think you can really compare a lot of what we're seeing from Becky Lynch now to Stone Cold Steve Austin 18, 19, 20 years ago.
I've been saying it from day one. I mean, she's the female version of Austin. And then everybody wanted to chime in and go, no, you're wrong. She's really Conor McGregor. Now we got the last phone call caller saying, oh, no, it's more of The Rock. I actually see a little bit of everything thrown in. But what I've seen the most of is Stone Cold. Okay, so yeah, she won with the Rock bottom. Okay, she's calling people dopes as opposed to Rocky calling everybody jabronis. Stealing the ambulance and coming back is very Steve-esque. The way she talks about people reminds me of Connor. These are all megastars. So if you can borrow a little from this one, a little from this one, and a little from this one, you know, that's a good thing. When it comes to Becky, there are times where I absolutely love Becky and what she's saying. And then sometimes it's not necessarily cringeworthy because I think that's wrong. It's just, I'm just like, oh no. The only person that should be producing Becky Lynch in the WWE is Paul Heyman. End of story. Paul understands Becky better than anybody else in that company and how to make and bring out the best in a character like Becky. If they would just leave her alone to him, I can tell when his fingerprints are on and when his fingerprints are off of Becky Lynch.
And I think when you talk about Paul Heyman, I can't think of anybody else I would want near Becky Lynch creatively than Paul Heyman.
Do you really think that Paul Heyman told Becky Lynch to say, I have superpowers and I have eyes in the back of my head?
No.
No. And if he did, Paul, call me so I can chew your ass out.
Yeah, and this is where, and I love Becky Lynch. Like, everybody thinks I'm not a Becky Lynch fan based on some of the things that we talk about here. But I always like my baby faces to be relatable. Stone Cold was relatable because everybody hated their boss, and he was giving the middle finger to the boss. Everybody wanted to do that. Becky Lynch right now, for me, is not relatable. Now, I know with a lot of women, this is somebody that they look up to because she's ultra confident. She doesn't take shit. She's dominating. She's taking what she wants. She's taking what she deserves. But as a character and a personality, to me, when there's no sympathetic figure in her, and also you couple that with the fact that she doesn't really give a shit about anybody but herself, it's hard for me to relate to somebody like that. Am I off base here? Am I wrong? Because I'm willing to listen if I am.
How could you be wrong when you're using the number one word that I always use when it comes to successful pro wrestling characters? Relate. Relatable. Relatability. If you can relate to something, you're going to be able to sink your teeth into it. Take any storyline that you ever were able to invest into. It becomes relatable. A love triangle. Listen, why are we enjoying Otis and Mandy so much?
Because everybody has had a woman that they loved and they didn't think that they measured up and they doubted themselves and didn't have confidence enough. Everybody's been in that position.
And if you haven't been in that position, you at least know somebody that's been in that position.
Yes.
So when we get stories like that that are relatable, it's easy to get into. So right now you find yourself in a situation where you were on the Becky bandwagon back in the day, but now not so much because she's not relatable anymore, right?
Yeah, and people are going to kill me on this, which is fine, but I'm just speaking.
Whatever.
I'm just speaking from that. They killed me about my power rankings to the point that people want to be fired yesterday because I had Cody at number one, but I digress. That was
we had
yesterday.
People so stirred up yesterday that they were deleting their Twitter accounts.
Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing. I guess we're doing something right. But or wrong. however you want to relate to it. But this reminds me a little bit of Hogan back in the day. One of the things I didn't like about Hulk Hogan in his reign as WWF champion is that he beat everybody and nobody could come close to him. He was the champion for a long time and it became unrelatable. He didn't become that guy that was like, hey, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, let's be this guy. And I'm not even talking about the goody-goody two-shoes that a lot of people said that he was. It was at the point that Hulk Hogan, to me, wasn't relatable anymore. Because at first it was like, all right, he's doing it for the fans. He's doing it for these Hulkamaniacs. That's what he would always say, right? You know, he wanted to beat the Iron Sheik because he was doing it for his Hulkamaniacs. You know, he wanted to beat, you know, King Kong Bundy and destroy that whole Heenan family because they were evil and he was doing this for his Hulkamaniacs. I mean, Becky Lynch isn't doing it for anybody but herself. Like, I don't really talk about, you know, I don't really hear her talking about her fans and that she's doing it for her fans. She's doing it just for herself, which is fine. I'm not begrudging that at all. But that's where you kind of lose that emotional element if, hey, if I'm not included in this, because, hey, we were in this together. You know, we were the ones that were cheering for you when you weren't getting those opportunities. We were the ones that, you know, turned our backs on Charlotte Flair because you said, hey, she was the chosen one and she was, you know, Ric Flair's daughter. So she was getting the opportunities that she didn't deserve, that I deserve. We were with you during that period. You know, we were with you and we were the ones that were, you know, killing Bully and LaGreca when they were saying that, hey, you tapped out to Asuka and you forced your way into the Rumble. And maybe it wasn't a three count against Ronda Rousey in that main event. We were behind you. We stood next to you and we said, no, she's the one. She's the one that we love. But who does Becky love? Because judging from the character and personality that I see on TV each and every week, she doesn't love anyone but herself.
She's not relating to the people as she once did. Now it's more about her than about us, wouldn't you say, Dave?
I would say, and again, if anyone has an opposing opinion, that's fine. I want to hear about it because I'm struggling, Bully, because I want to cheer for Becky Lynch, but she's not giving me a reason to cheer for Becky Lynch. As a matter of fact, and I was having this conversation with Gabby before the show, and Gabby agreed with me. We both found ourselves cheering for Asuka last night than we were Becky Lynch.
Well, that's because we all love Asuka. And if they're trying to present Becky as cool and cocky at times, like a couple of weeks ago, we were comparing her to The Rock because she called everybody dopes and Rocky called everybody jabronis. There's nothing inclusive about Becky's entire act. No matter how big Rocky became, all he had to do was sit in the middle of the ring and go, the millions, and the crowd would chant, and millions, right then and there, bang. In that second in time, The Rock and his fan base were one. Because I say something and you say something back and we're in this together. Steve could say something, what? And the people would say, what? There was interaction. They felt like they were a part of it with Steve. If you're a Becky fan, what do you feel like you're a part of right now with Becky?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Do you see how a Steve or a Rock, two people that we're kind of comparing her to, because the WWE is forcing us to compare her to them via her actions, you see how there's a big difference between those two megastars and her? The inclusiveness is missing.
Well, let's rewind to when this all started, where, you know, and don't forget that in that feud with Becky and Charlotte at the start, Bully, and we were on the bandwagon that we didn't want it this way, is they wanted Charlotte to be the one that everyone loved and Becky the one to be hated. And we were like, man, they're missing the boat on this. You know, everyone loves Becky. They don't love Charlotte because Charlotte's the one that's already won, been on top, and is getting opportunities that she didn't deserve. Because at the time, Becky was 100% right. So she reminded me a lot of Daniel Bryan. Because Daniel Bryan was somebody that we wanted to see in the main event picture and wasn't getting the opportunities. And they were giving it to, you know, Triple H, or they were giving it to a returning Batista. You know, and he wasn't getting it. And you talk about getting something that was inclusive. I mean, my God, those yes chants that you heard everywhere from those crowds of Daniel Bryan. And then Daniel Bryan won that championship. And unfortunately, we never really got to see where that was going to go because then he got injured. And altogether, at one point, he was out of pro wrestling. But with Becky right now, it's almost like, you know, and again, maybe it is like that I'm dominant. I don't need to take shit from anybody. I don't need anybody else. I'm an independent person and I don't need anyone. And that's fine. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. If that's who you are, that's great. But when you do that and you're saying, I don't need anybody else, it's just me, it's I. Well, there's no I in team. Now we're no longer a team. It's not all of us against the world. Now it's just you. And God bless you. Good luck. But I don't feel like I'm a part of it anymore.
And wrestling fans want to feel like they are a part of somebody's success. They're superstardom, correct?
Yes.
And Becky is the one who basically told everybody years ago that if it wasn't for all you guys, I wouldn't have got to the top.
It's true.
Yes, no.
It's true.
So I don't mind somebody going out there on their own and saying, I, as long as they've been saying I from the beginning. Becky has been saying we and us from the beginning. And now it sounds like it's too much I. And that's why I think she's losing a couple of people. And this is where I go back to who's producing her. Whoever is with her needs to realize, and I think everybody knows that that Becky is a diamond in the rough over there. She truly is. I wonder if there's too many cooks in the kitchen with her. I would assign her to one person and one person only, and that is probably, and that's the one person who, in my opinion, understands characters and personalities and how to bring the best out of somebody's natural personality and natural character, and that's Heyman. So, I mean, it's like not even a, to me, it's not even like, I don't even have to give it a second thought.
Or, like you said, it's similar to, she's becoming very similar. You know, we make the comparisons to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm just making comparisons because there's nobody like Becky Lynch. But we're trying to just compare it in our world. She's more of a CM Punk than anybody else. Like, I see more...
A loner?
Yeah, like a loner. Like, I'm doing this on my own. I don't need anybody. I don't need your help. I know you're trying to help me, but I don't want your help. I don't need your help. Leave me alone. I see more of her being that independent CM Punk character than any other character that we've been talking about during today's show.
And that's fine and dandy, but the more she becomes that out on the island by myself, I'm going to do this all alone, I think that's the more she distances herself from her fan base. Yes, people will still love her and still be into her, but not the way they once were. And if you watch the reactions... Does she get good reactions? Of course she does. Is she getting the same reactions? No, she's not. And there's a reason why you and the girl were talking before the show and you wanted to see Asuka win. What's the reason? You liked Asuka. Maybe Asuka is the new up-and-coming in your eyes just the way Becky was back in the day. Maybe now it almost seems like Asuka is the underdog. And for a straight-up shoot, in reality, she's become the underdog in the WWE because she's so freaking good. Meanwhile, they don't give her what we think she deserves.
And we talk about like Becky being that baby face in 2020 because this isn't 1998 and this is not 1984. But when you look at pro wrestling, Bully, obviously pro wrestling fans don't just watch Raw for 3 hours on Monday. They listen to our show and they read on the internet. So if you're doing all those things like a hardcore pro wrestling fan does, then you're 100% right. Asuka's the one that's a bit of the underdog here because we know Asuka's super talented. And ever since she was in that match at WrestleMania in New Orleans, she has kind of gone down that slope downward as opposed to what we've seen with Becky Lynch where now she's on top of the mountain. It's easier to root for the person that's on the bottom working their way up than the person that's on top of the mountain, because the person that's working their way up is relatable. Asuka, to me, is somebody that deserves a lot more than what she's getting. And I know that you could throw out the tag team championships. That in the eyes of the WWE, that really doesn't mean a lot. I think everybody would say that Asuka deserves to be in the main event at WrestleMania because she's that damn good. And right now, she's nowhere near that, especially, Bully, after the loss she took on Raw in the first hour of the show. So you're probably right. The reasons that Gabby and I are rooting for Asuka last night, because she's somewhere more near the position that Becky Lynch was 18 months ago than where Becky Lynch is now.
Did Dusty Rhodes ever go out on his own?
No, he needed the help of the people.
And that's it. All of the people that we just brought up, all of the megastars, a Rock and Austin, a Dusty Rhodes, they were always inclusive. I'm not going to compare myself and Devon to any of those three guys, but we made sure that our act was always inclusive. I don't know what's inclusive about Becky anymore. I'm not talking about like a signature move or a signature spot or a signature saying. I'm just saying that from the beginning, Becky said it was about her and the fans all held back together and we're going to get to the top. Okay, cool. You're at the top. Have you forgotten about those people? Endear yourself again. Or if you really, really want to get deep into this, whoever the hell is coming up with the stuff that's coming out of her mouth, make sure you write for her to be endearing to her fan base.
Just always make sure it goes back to the fans. Be who you are, but also remember where you came from.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
When we're talking about Becky Lynch and what she feels she deserves, and that doesn't matter race or gender, if you're the top person in a company, you should be making top person money, and that's her goal right now. And I think she's proving that point because, you know, outside of maybe a Brock Lesnar, I don't think there's anybody more popular in the WWE than Becky Lynch, Roman Reigns included. And then you began to tell us something, you know, appealing behind the curtain a little bit. Please continue.
If you're in the wrestling business, you're obviously in the entertainment business, but what business are you really in? The art of what?
You're not in the entertainment business.
No, you are in the entertainment business, but you're also in another business. And this is what Dusty used to push every time. You always want to be doing something. You always want to be doing what, and what?
Well, you want to be pushing your brand.
Selling. So if you're an entertainer, you're a salesman. Okay? No different than like a car salesman. So if you're a car salesman and you go in and you ask for a raise, your boss is going to say, well, why should I give you a raise? And what's the number one thing that you can point to as a salesman to quantify your raise?
Look at my numbers.
Look at the amount of cars I sell and look at the amount of money I gross on each sale. There's my hard numbers. Give me more money. What does a wrestler have to quantify and justify a raise? What numbers?
Asses in seats, merchandise sales.
How do you know what ass is in what seat because of you?
By the t-shirt that they're wearing and the sign they're holding up.
So it's not an ass in seat, it's a t-shirt sale. Merchandise. Merchandise is the number one thing that a wrestler can point to because they can turn around and go, look at my merchandise check that you cut me this quarter. It's for X amount of dollars, and that's for like, and you get like 5% or 10%, whatever it is in the WWE. You get like 5 or 10% of your merch, whatever. Now, let's say Becky's, listen, I know what merch sales look like in the WWE. I've been very blessed to be a part of that company and get those merch checks 4 times a year, still do. God bless Vince McMahon. So if you're getting 5 or 10% of that merch cut, imagine what the company's getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
but you're still able to quantify and justify based on that number. What other numbers is a wrestler truly privy to?
Well, we already talked about the numbers for merchandise. We talked about attendance ratings on the show that they're on.
How do you really know what rating you've done unless you can get your hand on the quarter hour rank ratings, or if you can get the minute by minute, which used to be a thing back in the day? So if you could get your hands on the quarter hour, but then a boss can turn around and go, well, there were two segments in that quarter hour. How do we really know that the people stayed on the channel because of you and not the other person? But if you can get the minute by minute breakdown, now you have something that a boss has to listen to. But getting those numbers, not easy. So the one number is merchandise. And here's the moral of the story. It really doesn't matter what you think you're worth. And it really doesn't matter what they think you're worth. All that matters is what you can negotiate.
Makes sense.
Because they're going to start high. When I say they, I'm talking about any business. Okay? I'm not just talking about the wrestling business. They're going to start hot. They're going to start low. You're going to start high. And hopefully you meet someplace in the middle. This is why I say the WWE likes to control their stars a lot more than they ever have. If you're Steve, or if you're Rocky, or if you're John, those are the biggest three names of the past 20 years, yes?
Yes.
You can basically walk into Vince's... Oh, and Brock, I'm sorry, my bad. Brock is the best example. Brock trumps them all. You can walk into the office and go and slide Vince a piece of paper with a number on it and go, that's the number. And that's it.
And I guess what Becky is saying, that she feels, hey, main event at WrestleMania 35, I walk out there and I see all the Becky Lynch signs and I see all the Becky Lynch t-shirts. Why is my check this, where I see other people on this roster where I don't see the shirts, I don't see the signs, I don't see them in the main event, and they're making more than I do? Hell, Bully.
How does she know what other people are making?
I would think that probably people talk and people...
Not when you get to those numbers, they don't. One of the first things you're taught...
So maybe she's looking... You know, she might be looking at... Okay.
Taught,
sorry.
One of the first things you're taught... No, it's all good. One of the first things you're taught in the wrestling business, never discuss money with your fellow wrestlers. Do you know why?
Why?
It breeds jealousy. It's poisonous. One time... Road Dogg came up to me and said, and it was the Dudleys versus Road Dogg and Billy Gunn against the New Age Outlaws. We had a match on pay-per-view, whatever. He goes, Bubba, what'd you get for that match? And I fell into the trap, and I don't know why. I said I got this much. Road Dogg said that him and Billy got double. And me and Devon were like, what the hell? We were in the match too. Why did they get double? Like, right? He stirred me up in an instant. Now, maybe he was ribbing me and it worked. Or maybe he was telling me the truth because he's like, hey, man, you guys deserve just as much as we do. And now it's up to you to go fight for your money. You're always fighting for your money. Do I think Becky Lynch is right now is worth as much as just about anybody else on the roster? Yes. Now it's Becky's job or Becky's agent's job to go in there and prove it and negotiate it. She can't go in there and go, well, I'm getting X amount of dollars, but you're paying so-and-so X amount of dollars. They're going to say, well, how the hell do you know that? How do you know it's true? How do you know they're not working you? You can't go by what other wrestlers are making.
And if they're not talking, then she's probably just looking at her own paycheck. She might be saying, you know what, before WrestleMania 35 and before I saw all the t-shirts with my name on it and before I saw all the signs with my name on it and before I saw the long lines at, you know, WrestleMania Access, I was making this much, and now I'm looking at my check and I'm still making this much. Why am I not making another number that's much higher because of all the revenue I'm bringing in for you?
Then go negotiate that when your next contract comes up.
And
because a company has no reason to pay you more once you've negotiated a deal.
Well, Bully, why don't we bring myself into this? You know, you and I have had conversations
about my
thing.
We went from millions to thousands. No, but okay, I get your point.
No, but you know where I'm coming from in the fact that this show started from nothing. For years, I did this show for nothing extra. I just did it for the love of doing this show. I needed, you know, and that's not just something that I said. It's something that's 100% true. And then, you know, I started making something, which I was appreciative for. But then this show blew up with the help of you and Mark and Tommy. Obviously, I don't sleep on that at all. And then you get sponsors on the show, and then we get moved to mornings, and then we go 5 days a week, and then we're on for 3 hours, and then at our 10-year anniversary party, they stop people from coming in, and the guy who owns the bar is about to call the fire marshal because he's afraid. And then, you know, I'm thinking, all right, I'm on Easy Street. Think I'm gonna get a big raise? That ain't happening. I had to put the ball in motion. I had to turn that wheel in motion for them to appreciate. Like, it's, you have to force. They're not going to just, no one's going to, and this is a life lesson for everyone. Unfortunately, it should happen, but unfortunately, no one's ever going to say, wow, you're doing an amazing job. Here you go. It's not going to happen. You have to force their hand for that to happen. And that's what Becky Lynch is doing. I mean, right now, at least outside of the ring, she's saying, now, wait a second. Why am I getting this when I should be getting that?
Well, that's because what you negotiated. Now, maybe she's, what she's really talking about is like payoffs on shows. So like, it would take me too long to break down how a contract is laid out within the WWE. There's these downside guarantees, which every wrestler in the world should thank Eric Bischoff for, because he was the first one to throw out downside guarantees. But then you make payoffs on the houses. So let's say Becky Lynch is working on a show, the same show that Roman Reigns is on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Becky's semi-main and Roman's main. And let's say, Roman Reigns made $100 for the night and Becky made $50 for the night. Maybe Becky is saying, hey, I deserve the same payoff on that show. Now I understand her argument, because she can make a case for, hey, look out in the audience. Half the people here have my shirt on. And if half the people here have my shirt on, there's a damn good chance that those people bought tickets to see me. So my payoffs on the houses should be higher. But if she's talking about a downside guarantee, which means the amount of money you are guaranteed by the WWE for 1 year to make, if she's saying that number should be higher, well, then you should have negotiated a higher number. Don't bitch about it now. You had every opportunity to sit across from Vince McMahon, or your agent had a chance to talk to their agents, blah, 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 whatever, and say, this is how much money I want to make.
Now, we don't know that this is the case with Becky Lynch, but she's making it public. She's saying verbally that, you know what, I want to make more, and she should. And you know what, everybody should, because I think there was a misconception for a long time, because especially in the WWE, how women's wrestling was perceived. It wasn't that long ago, hell, it was only just a few years ago, Bully, where women's wrestling in the WWE was the bathroom break. It was. I'm sorry, but it's true. That is not the case anymore. As a matter of fact, probably the women's matches are why people do go to the arena and buy a ticket, and that's why you saw it in the main event at WrestleMania 35. So if there is a difference in the pay structure when it comes to men and women, that needs to change now, because the men, for the most part, are taking a back seat to what the women are doing.
No argument. If you want more money, go negotiate more money. I will tell you this. I've had two instances with the WWE where I was unhappy with a payoff. I went in there, and within 5 minutes, I got my money. You voice your opinion as a professional, and you do it respectfully. And twice for me, it has worked. Now, when you get to contract negotiation time, what does any company want to do? They want to try to keep payroll down.
Yes.
What do you want to do, especially as a performer, as a wrestler? I mean, look at what we put our bodies through. Look at what we put our families through. And you could put family before your own body.
Yeah.
If you're out on the road that many days a year, and I did it 300 days a year. It was 6 years straight, and then like 250 days a year, every other year. And guys that came before me did it even more. You know, you always hear like, you know, Flair saying 7 days a week and twice on Sundays. You basically never saw your family. So if you're going to put your body through all of that struggle and that pain, and forget about in the ring. The ring was the easy part. It's driving in the cars. It's sleeping in the different beds in the hotels. It's flying on the planes. And I don't care if you're flying first class. You're still flying on a plane and dealing with the airports and dragging your bags and getting on a plane and blah, blah, blah. It takes a toll on you. The travel takes more of a toll on you than anything. So if you're going to put yourself through this, and you're an independent contractor with no 401k or this or that, you have to rely on, you have to do it all yourself and set yourself up for retirement, which, oh, by the way, you never know when that day is coming because your last match can be tomorrow and you'd never know about it.
True.
That's why you got to negotiate the most money. Tomorrow can be your last match because you might have an injury that doesn't allow you to wrestle anymore. And tomorrow could be your last match because you become a victim of the most powerful tool in the entire wrestling business. Do you know what the most powerful tool in wrestling is, Dave?
What's that?
The pencil. You know how I talk about, you know, if I had the pencil?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I talk about creative and the creative that I write down. The pencil is the most powerful tool in pro wrestling because one side of the pencil can make you a millionaire. And in an instant, the other side of the pencil can put you in the poorhouse.
Wow. Strong.
Truth, though. I write your name in as my world heavyweight champion. Dave LaGreca, world heavyweight champion. That's what one side of the pencil does. The next day, the other side of the pencil erases the name Dave LaGreca. The power of the pencil. Wrestlers were told, you're taught younger, don't ever walk around the locker room with a pencil behind your ear. When you walk around with a pencil in your hand or a pencil behind your ear in wrestling, you might as well be carrying around an AK-47. The power of the pencil. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.